Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Transpose Podcast. I am the fabulous and incredible Robin Allura. And today we are being joined. We're kind of going a little international today, which is always good. And I don't just mean we're going to Kansatica because Pixie's on the show. We're going across the Atlantic here. And I want to welcome a very special guest, Miss Genevieve Moore. Genevieve, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Are you?
I'm doing good. A little early for me, but that's okay. So Genevieve is here today to talk a little bit about her business in something that we trans women kind of struggle a lot with, and that is hair removal. And I don't mean on the top of your head. Everybody else knows where that is, where we're talking here. But let's start off with Genevieve. Why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners and tell us a little bit about you and your transition?
Yeah, well, I've known I was trans since about the age of 6, and I'm 51 now. Struggled with it for a long, long time. I finally decided to do something about it when I was 48. So a long, long time. But it was a case of, like a lot of people, I think, just couldn't deal with it anymore without doing something about it. It was a bit of, well, in different ways, it was a disaster and a triumph, because a disaster in the respect, like, again, like a lot of people, I lost everything. My wife, my home, and fortunately no kids, but just as bad, two dogs that I loved. But that was about 18 months ago. It's been some pretty tough times, but I found that it's probably the best thing I've ever done. It was an interesting transition at work. I used to be a physics teacher in a secondary school. I suppose a high school is equivalent to
right.
And I did that for 26 years. And when I first went to the head teacher to tell him what was happening, I was so nervous I had a crib sheet. And I just said to him, could you just not interrupt me until I'm finished? Because this is, like, hard enough as it is. So he was very good, and he just listened to what I had to say. Looked like he was going to give birth a few points. He wasn't expecting it. And then, indeed, at the end of it, he said, oh, I just thought you were going to tell me you were leaving. But he was incredibly supportive. Basically just asked me, keeping me informed of the sort of things I was going to be doing and when I was going to start presenting full-time at work as well as at home. Asked me what sort of the medical route was going to be, and he wasn't being intrusive. It was just a case of needing to know for work.
Right.
How he was going to sort of deal with that. So that went on, and he sort of told a few colleagues in my department, a few people outside of it, and then once it got to the summer, I asked him for a week off so I could go to Turkey to get my breast augmentation and my facial feminization surgery, and he was quite happy to give me that. So on my day after I started my summer holiday early, he put a notice in the school bulletin that I would be coming back as Miss Moore and so on. The nicest part about that, because I was actually expecting a lot of the kids not being so accepting, but one of the kids who is trans himself sent me an email saying, congratulations, I'm so happy for you. And a little jealous, but it's really lovely to have someone in the same boat as me.
That's
So,
great.
yeah, it was. And I thought really it was going to really work out. I went back after the summer, and all of the kids who knew me previously, I was still teaching, and I just said to them, obviously there's an elephant in the room, even though I've lost weight. But you, some of you knew me before. I'm the same teacher. I'm just dressed differently and out is who I really am. And this has taken 40 odd years to do. I'm not asking for approval, just a bit of respect. If you respect me before, there's no reason why you shouldn't now. So, and I said, if anybody's got any questions that are reasonable, then I'm quite happy to answer them as long as they're not too personal. No one asked me anything apart from one kid put his hand up and said, Miss, can I take my coat off? And I was like, well, that's not what I meant, but yes, you can. And there was very few kids that gave me any grief. A couple of, I don't know what you'd call it. It's, we call it year nine. It's like a third year of secondary school.
So that'd be a sophomore year, or not sophomore, junior year here.
Right. There, were blatantly pointing and laughing at one point. But you know, at the end of the day, I've been teaching a long, long time, so it was a case of I knew how to deal with it. Just went in at the end of the class and pointed at both of them and said, right, okay, that ever happens again, you won't just be talking to the head teacher, you'll be talking to the police because that's a hate crime.
Yeah.
And they basically shit themselves. And it didn't happen again. Vast majority of the kids were absolutely fantastic. Unfortunately, then there began some malicious complaints. From what the first one saying that I'd done all sorts of things that I hadn't. Petty things like brushing my hair in the classroom. To which I was like, yes, I did, because we were about to do an experiment and I was just about to tie my hair back. She cancelled an experiment at the last minute. Yes, I did. The kids were being a pain in the arse, so they don't get to do the experiment for safety reasons. And even got as far as questioning my personal hygiene.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, in 26 years of teaching, that's never been questioned. In fact, in 52 years of life, that's never been questioned. And it was just obviously malicious. That was dealt with. Then there was another one came in from a year 10 class that were, again, basically I'd given them a really big telling off because they were just being lazy little shits. And they'd gone home to complain because they didn't like it. Excuse me. And I just said, well, you know, basically saying they weren't making progress and they weren't doing as well as they should. So I got all the data. And we split, I suppose, like you, we in some schools here, we split physics, chemistry, and biology into the three separate subjects. And
Right.
I got all, so I got all the results and proved that half the class were getting the top out of all three sciences. And if not the top, the second best scores. Slammed that on my boss's desk and said, I'm going to do book all about this now, because you can see the results for yourself. You don't have to worry about me. In fact, I think you need to worry about biology, because they're about half the scores that I get. Very, very angry because there'd been two or three complaints by then, which were just rubbish. So then it got to a final one from a sixth former, saying that I had said something so awful in front of the class that he couldn't repeat it to his mum. I had no idea what this was. This was amongst different accusations, which were all proved to be rubbish. But I spent an hour and a half in senior management's room answering questions like it was the Gestapo. So it was getting to the point where I'd had enough. Then when it came out that it was all untrue, I said to the senior management, "So what about this thing I'm supposed to have said? Oh, we can't remember." To which my answer was bullshit. I didn't see a bloody thing because at the end of the day, if it was so awful, he would have been able to remember it.
Yeah.
So, and at that point, I just went off sick, and I didn't go back. A friend of mine, well, the person I was really lucky because when I decided to transition, somebody recommended a laser hair specialist to me. And when I went to see her, she was, well, actually, the first one I went to was a bit of a cowboy and ended up almost permanently burning my neck.
Oh.
And then I was recommended this other lady, and she was absolutely fantastic. And she's basically said to me, right, I can't do your neck because not at the moment until it's healed up because it would just be too dangerous, but you know, we'll do everything else. And we became friends after a while, and just an amazing person. She never misgendered me once. She never dead named me. In fact, she just said, look, I don't even want to know your old name because it's irrelevant. And at that moment, when somebody says that, it's like, oh, I've found the right person here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, we carried on with that and started getting good results. And basically, after a while, and she knew we were always talking, and she said, you're not happy with teaching. Have you ever thought of doing this? This laser hair removal. And I was like, well, no, not really. I hadn't, but it's not a bad idea. She sort of said how much money you can make out of it, which, and I'm not in it to make just loads of money. I actually think it's a really good way of giving something back to my own community, because I've had so much support from that community, from Twitter, from like the local community, and there's some fantastic people on Twitter, trans people on Twitter. Like Gia, like Bobby Pickard, just far too many to mention, really.
Yes, that's very true. There are a lot of them. There are a lot of very supportive people.
And then yes, you get the trolls, you get the TERFs, but you know, very, very easy to just block and ignore.
It is.
And you know, it's, I think it's worth being there just for the support of the people that are there. So so I started, did a bit of treatment training, which she did for me, got the machine, and then did some tattoo removal training as well, and opened up my business in London in Soho. Unfortunately, that hasn't quite worked out. The overheads in Soho, because it's central London, were just crippling. And the business, although getting busier, wasn't getting busy enough. So I've actually moved it down to where I live in Kent, Rochester, Kent, in order to just, you know, start from here. And it's actually looking already, even though I haven't set up the room yet. That's getting done next week. I've already got more business down here than I ever had up in London.
How far is it between London and where you are?
It's about a 40-minute train journey.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I'm sort of a 2-minute walk away from the train station.
Okay.
So, you know, people can't complain about that one. So a lot of my clients from up London are coming, still coming down here. And if anybody in the UK wants to get in contact me with me, it's www.translaser.uk.
See, there we go. Like a
Cor
pro.
correction, trans laser, transform laser.uk.
So you've First off, I'm extremely impressed with the you were a physics teacher.
Yeah.
So, bravo. Especially in what we would consider here in the States, high school, because that's hard.
I've been in a few very tough schools where, you know, I mean, I've had a brick thrown at me before.
Oh, yeah, see, I could not do that. I couldn't do it at all. I'd be throwing the brick back.
Yeah, unfortunately, it was an 11-year-old who did it, and I really didn't think he was worth losing my mortgage for.
Yeah, probably not.
But, you know,
yeah.
The thing is with schools, it's a case of, you know, how established you get and how you start off with kids. And I was a very old-fashioned teacher because I've been doing it for such a long... Oh, I was doing it for such a long time. And if you basically tell them how it is, treat them with respect, but, you know, basically you have... They know you can have a bit of a fun with them, but where the line's drawn, usually with most kids, you're fine.
Yeah. So... Your business, you've started it. It's is it just you right now?
It is just me right now. Yeah, I'm doing a little bit of work with another lady on training other people to do it, and that hopefully is going to be kicking off in a few weeks' time. Just waiting for some accreditation on the coursework that I've done.
Okay.
And there's another lady that I do some work with, and she's actually looking at starting a her own business doing other beauty treatments, and she wants me to go in with her. But that's just sort of in negotiation,
yes, diversify. So you're doing laser hair removal. First off, that's very important for the community, and I think that's really a great way to give back. I know as a trans woman myself, I struggle with that. And it's very difficult. Why don't you tell everybody about kind of the process of how it works and any sort of science behind it. And maybe even, you know, do's and don'ts.
Yeah. Well, basically if you come to me, you need to have what we call a patch test and consultation. I need to check whether there are any illnesses you've had or do have that, stop you having, the treatment. Things like if you've had cancer, I would need sort of a letter from your consultant just to say that it's safe for you to have the treatment. Otherwise, I can't treat you because the last thing I want is to actually hurt anyone. And secondly, I don't want to get sued either.
That's so important.
Yeah. Once you've had that, basically within 24 hours, of having a patch test, which is just basically I run the laser head over different areas quickly just to see if there's a reaction with the skin. I've never had a reaction apart from once where the client hadn't actually taken the advice that had been given. Once you've had that and you get a negative result back, basically we start on the process. Now, the best sort of hair to have it is dark hair with a light skin because the energy from the laser will go down to the hair follicle and destroy it. A lot of people have got this strange sort of idea that you've got to grow your hair to be able to do it, and you don't. Anyone who's coming for laser hair removal, you have to be freshly shaven. Because otherwise you're going to get a very strong smell of burning hair when the treatment's going on. And also what they don't realize is they can't use any other form of hair removal like Veet or creams or applicators or anything, because basically they can literally only shave, because otherwise it basically wrecks the cycle of hair growth. We grow our hair in a 3-phase cycle. So really you need to have 3 treatments before you see any major sort of start effects appearing, because your hair's going to grow again in the next cycle from different follicles. So once that's done, I mean, you do three. It usually, actually, I mean, I have had several trans clients where they've said after the first treatment they have noticed a difference. But I think, I mean, to be realistic, I've had 13 sessions on my face, and virtually I've got nothing left, a tiny, tiny bit under my nose and a tiny, tiny bit under my lip, and that is it. But I'm completely hair free everywhere because of the laser. Excuse me. Occasionally, you need a top up every maybe year after the treatment's finished, just to take care of any stray hairs. People unfortunately think that it's not permanent, where in all effect it is. The reason you get hair regrowth is because of hormone levels. So say a cis woman may come to me, and she might be completely hairless where I've treated her, and then have the menopause, and then she will sprout new hairs because of those hormone levels. So it is just as effective as electrolysis. The only time I advise people to go for electrolysis is if they've got white hairs, white or grey,
Okay,
because the
let's talk about that. Why? Now you said that it works great on dark, and that allows the laser to go all the way to the hair follicle. So why is it that it doesn't work as effectively on white or gray hair? Is there a reason?
Well, there's no melanin in the hair. So basically there's nowhere n no pigment for the energy to travel through. So it can't get down there. I mean, any other form of hair is fine. Any color of hair is fine apart from that. With people who have fair blonde hair, it will take a little longer, because there's again less melanin in the follicles, but with it would still work. It's just white hair. And what I'll say to people is, look, if you've only got a few, or even say a half of your hair is white, but the rest is a different color, you'll get laser, because it's a lot cheaper than going and getting electrolysis. Because I mean, for example, when I first started transitioning, I went to a local electrolysis lady, and she told me it would be 430 hours just for my face. Now, that is it come to a lot of money, and she wasn't expensive, but it came to over £20,000. A laser was, I think I got it for at the time a special deal, and I think I was paying £90 a session for my whole body. So it's a hell of a difference between them. And it only took, as I say, 13 sessions to get rid of all the face hair.
Right.
So, it hasn't been expensive to what that could have been.
Right.
So I'll say to them, get the dark, rid of the dark hair with laser first, or darker hair with laser first, and then you're going to save yourself a lot of money by doing that, then just getting the electrolysis on what you have to get it on, what the laser won't work on.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, that electrolysis is expensive. I had a consultation with a place down here that they specialize in it for trans individuals, and very wonderful business, very wonderful people. But yeah, just to do my face was going to end up costing me like 10 grand. And it's like, oh yeah, let me just go get that out of the couch cushions, 'cause yeah, I make so much money doing absolutely nothing. Okay, well that's really good information. Because there is a lot of back and forth. Is laser permanent? Is laser not permanent? Laser versus electrolysis. And I think it's good to hear from someone who actually does the process to go, you know, laser can be just as effective. I think the other thing to keep in mind with it too is, let's all be honest here, laser hair removal is still fairly new technology.
It's progressed a heck of a lot since its beginnings.
Right.
When it was first around, it was just, this is actually good that we've talked about this because it's a bit of a warning to people as well. There are still some practitioners that still use IPL laser machine, intense pulse light machines. They are rubbish, to be fair. They don't do the job very effectively. There's more chance of burning people with them because when you have to increase the power to get rid of the particularly stubborn hairs, it doesn't do the skin a lot of good. I only ever use IPL for skin rejuvenation on a lower setting because it is good for that. Never, you are wasting your money if you go to a clinic which is offering IPL. They may tell you it's great. It isn't. It's cheap. It's old technology. And it will take longer. So it's a false economy. You need someone that has a laser diode machine. That is far newer technology. It's far more effective and it's a lot safer. So basically, when I do this, the machine that I have is basically one of the top machines. It cost me $25,000. Okay, now I could have bought one for $6,000 or $7,000. Okay, but I didn't because I knew it was again a false economy. A friend of mine who bought a machine paid £6,000 for it. The training that they had was diabolical. I had to go and retrain them after I passed my and got my certificates because it was dangerous. And the machine that they assured me, I basically said, get rid of this. Because it's just, it's not good. It's not going to do the job that you want it to do. So, you know, it's very expensive to get started. So if people think that, you know, when you quote them a price, they're thinking, but you're only going to be doing 15 minutes work. Yeah, but there's a hell of a lot to pay out in order for me to do that 15 minutes work. So really, not many people are trying to rip you off. It's a case of that's there to cover their overheads. They're not making a huge amount of money out of it afterwards. But yeah, so stay away from IPL, everyone, please. It's just not good.
See, I was a sucker for the Remington had the IPL, the home unit. Yeah. And when I was first started my transition, I was the sucker that bought that. And it's awful.
I know very few trans women who haven't done that, myself included, before I knew better. Those home things are just terrible. They're not going to hurt you, but they're just not going to do the job on you, really.
Well we had the problem of, it didn't really affect me much as far as the growth. The hormones did more for that than anything else, but you know it came with two, for lack of a better term, heads. One was supposed to be designed for body, which was, you know, I was going to use it on my arms. And the other was going to be for your face. But trans women aren't supposed to use it on their face. And I mean, we would use the one for the body, and the machine would just have a meltdown and freak out. And I honestly had to call Remington one day and said, here's what's happening. What the hell is going on? And it turned out that even on its lowest setting, it uses a hell of a lot of juice. And we didn't get a lot of electricity coming in. So it was like, okay, well, this doesn't work. The face thing doesn't work. And I think it's very easy for us to see, oh, well, it's considered laser hair removal. They market it as laser hair removal. And I guess technically it's true, but not really.
Technically, but unfortunately, I mean, well, fortunately, there are regulations about using actually high-powered lasers that actually do work. And so you need training because you really can cause damage if you don't know what you're doing. But these home IPL things are even worse than the professional ones. But IPL for professional use, it's just a lot more power in it. But it still doesn't work as well as diode.
Still doesn't work. So not IPL, they need to use laser diode. Okay. So anybody who's interested in that, there's your info. Laser diode. And
And always try and get a machine that has a very good cooling system on it because basically that takes the heat away from your skin and it makes it a lot less painful.
okay, that's important too. Because you don't want to be sitting there and every time it go off going, ow, damn it, ow, damn it.
Unfortunately, it's avoidable on the face. As we all know, laser hair removal on the face is not pleasant when you first get it started. In fact, my laser lady basically used to try and be talking to me while she was doing my face, and I just had my teeth gritted, going, "I can't talk to you at the moment," because I was sort of just concentrating on like just staying in the room. So I won't lie, it does. The face is painful. Everywhere else is usually absolutely fine, but it's just because you've got so much coarse hair on your face. It doesn't help.
Now, is there any areas other than the very sensitive area, that laser is not recommended for?
No, there are actually no areas that you can't really do apart from under the eyebrows because it's too close to the eyes. But I can do those sensitive areas. I basically do quite often because either the client wants it removed for in case of surgery, in case they have to have hair removal for surgery, and usually we can get rid of all of that before they have that. So yeah, just under the eyebrows is you can't do it. Well, certain areas are more sensitive than others. Between your legs is going to be one of them, but basically you have to, all you have to do is be careful and turn the power down a little bit. And then sort of rather than doing sort of four or five sweeps without taking the laser off, you do one at a time. So it doesn't get too hot.
Is there, I know one of the things when I was originally looking into laser versus electrolysis, one of the things that had popped up was not just the hair color, but skin tones.
Yeah, we work on what's called the Fitzpatrick scale. Which is 1 to 7, and 1 being the lightest hair, lightest skin tone, and 7 being basically the darkest.
Okay.
It's basically that sets power at the correct levels, because obviously a darker skin will take or absorb more of the laser energy than lighter skin will. It's still perfectly safe as long as you get the right Fitzpatrick scale, and it also depends how fast you tan. For example, Fitzpatrick scale 1 is really easily tans, really easily burns in the sun. 2 would be easily tans, doesn't burn so easily, and so on and so on. So I'll get a client to basically fill the paperwork in. I don't talk about the FP skill to them. I just say, right, which one describes you the best? So you are in the hands of the client a little bit because obviously they know their skin. There I'll have obviously have a look at their skin and make a judgment as well. So they may say they would say describe themselves as Fitzpatrick Scale 2. I'll may look at their skin, and if they haven't been sunbathing or whatever, I may say, well, actually, no, that's a 3.
Right.
Because obviously I've done it for a while. Excuse me. So I mean, as long as you do that properly, it's absolutely fine. And again, it works on any skin tone. It just may take a little bit longer on darker skin tones because it's basically some of the laser energy is going into the skin instead of the follicle. Sometimes people will get a slight heat reaction. I had a client the other day who I did a carbon laser facial on her. And it was a black lady. And even though I had the laser on the lowest setting, she got a bit of bubbling on her face. And it simply was just a heat reaction, and she was absolutely fine. She did panic a bit, but I'm sort of just had to sort of say to her, look, believe me, it is okay. Take an antihistamine. There's a cold pack. You'll be fine in a couple of hours. And she was.
Okay, so it definitely the it does work on every skin tone, because I know that's been a marketing thing, especially here in the US for electrolysis, is, well, we don't have to worry about what your skin tone is or what color the hair is. Now, obviously, as you mentioned earlier, white and gray are going to be a problem, but it's all about marketing, right? It's all about marketing.
Yes, it is. And people will tell you lies to market. Oh, I shouldn't say
Oh,
that,
well, hey.
should I?
Let's talk about some of the difficulties you face being a trans business owner. I don't think we get enough stories about that. I know there are way more owners of businesses who are trans individuals. We just don't hear as many of their stories. And yours is a very interesting perspective because you are in the UK, which things ain't great.
No, not as bad as the US, but
No.
it's getting worse. We have or we have had for the last year or so a Trump wannabe as a prime minister, a complete ignorant buffoon, and who I think wanted to style himself on a Trump sort of persona. Thankfully, now we've got rid of him as well, because of the blatant lies he was telling. But his government is basically as transphobic. They refused to ban conversion therapy. And when they did go for a conversion therapy ban, they missed out trans people, basically giving some really sort of poor excuses for that reason, saying about the sort of they didn't want counselors to be liable for to be sort of arrested or sued or whatever, because of counseling younger people that they're not trans or that they are. And it was a clear indication that they had no clue what trans people go through or how they feel. It's funny enough, somebody I know this week, who I thought was a decent friend, actually said she thought I was still a man. And I actually had to say to her, no, I've never been a man. And it's quite insulting that you're actually saying this to me. Because, I have not, I'm not some guy who just wants to dress up in a dress or put a dress on.
Right.
This is me. So yeah, so you get that from like even people that you know sometimes, but with our government, they're just getting worse and worse for it. And unfortunately, Liz Truss, who is our now PM, God help us, is known to be outrightly transphobic. And in fact, I was told about a very interesting meeting from. And this was a comment from somebody who heard this meeting, that her and one of her advisors on LGBT rights actually was having a massive argument with her about trans healthcare. And she told him that you're not conservative enough. And then in the afternoon, sacked him because she didn't want to hear it. And now she's our PM. Join them. So yeah, things are not great. As a business owner, you know what? The biggest challenge, if you like, I've had, not from sort of other business owners, not from advisors or anything like that. It's the clients who ring you up. And because I very rarely use a femme voice, simply because this is me, I'm happy with that, and I'm just comfortable with my voice. Even though I've spent a lot of money on voice training, I just think, well, you know, people who already know me, I'm not going to change it, and I just keep forgetting to use it with new people. And a couple of times I've answered the phone and like, yeah, hello, transform laser, hair and tattoo removal. Okay, I'd like to book an appointment. Great. Okay, you need a patch test, a consultation. This is the cost. When would you like to come? Oh, this time. Is there a lady there I can see? Yes, that's me. You're a lady. Yeah, that's right. Okay, I'll give you a ring back. And this is from cis women. And they're under the impression, I think, like a lot of TERFs, that we're some kind of predator. And as I'm doing, going to be doing intimate areas, I can understand that a little bit. But to me, when I do this, it's a job. A bit like a gynecologist. You know, you don't look at these things and think, well, hey, you're looking at it, it's all right, where do I need to remove the hair? Where do I need to do that safely and so on? I'm not looking at like sort of their
Right, in a
parts.
predatory way. You're
Yeah,
not, you're,
exactly.
it doesn't even matter. Well,
Yeah.
I want to say this on the voice thing. You know, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves for that. But at the end of the day, let's all be honest. We have all made a phone call to a customer service or business, and the person on the phone could be a cisgendered male who sounds extremely feminine, or a cisgendered woman who sounds extremely masculine.
Definitely,
It's
yeah.
all about how comfortable you are with you.
Yeah, quite. I mean, I have a friend who's incredibly tall. She's a cis woman, and she's got very big feet, and then she's got a very deep voice. And some guy was trying to chat her up in a pub the other night. And I'm listening to this, and at one point, she asked her if she was trans.
Such bullshit.
Yeah,
What does it matter?
exactly. And I'm thinking, well, I think you've just really screwed up your chances if you wait even
Yeah. Way to go, dude. Way to go.
longer.
So you get the occasional client. Do you find that you get a lot of, I don't know, turf protesting or anything, or call outs or anything like that?
No, I mean, you know, I've had the odd call outs. When I first started, certainly when I first started transitioning, I've been quite lucky. I am told by my friends I pass quite well. The only real call outs I've had is when I first moved into Rochester, where I live. I was walking along the high street, and some idiot shouted out, "Oi, mate, what's between your legs?" So I basically just went over to him and said, probably more than what's between your ears.
I like that. That's
Yeah.
clever.
And walked off. And unfortunately, and actually, it was quite funny because his friends gave him more grief about what he'd said than I did. Like, why did you do that? What's it got to do with you? It's obvious. And they did try, but they got it slightly wrong because they said it's just that he's trans. And I was like, well, you nearly got there. At least you did get
Almost, almost just a little outside.
there. Yeah. Apart from that, really, even the kids were fine. I never got like catcalled or anything like that. And at work, I've never had any turf protests or anything like that. There's been on Facebook, where I advertise, there's been a few horrible comments. One woman saying, look at the state of it. I would let it treat me. And basically, it's you can't get involved with it. You just have to block them.
Right.
Facebook doesn't tolerate on their ads running arguments and slagging people off because they just don't allow it, and you end up getting closed down on your ads if you do it. So you just it's easier to just block them.
So, let's
I'm
as
sorry.
a business owner.
Sorry, can I just really say this other one was I was told that I was a disgrace. A groomer of children, and a complete pervert on an advert that didn't mention children once. And I actually did write a reply to that one and said, listen, love, I've been in teaching for 26 years. If I was going to groom children, I would have stayed in my previous job.
I mean, I get that a lot.
Yeah.
I do a lot of political posting, calling out politicians and Trump supporters and even celebrities who, check your privilege at the door, because you're so detached from reality. And I think there's at least once a day because I leave my DMs open. Why? There may be somebody in our community who needs someone to talk to. And
Yeah.
I leave it wide open. And I gotta say, once I really get on a roll, I get at least once a day someone dropping into the DM calling me a disgrace and an abomination and a pedophile and all this stuff. And like, just go fuck yourself. I don't care. Bye. Block, move on. Who cares what Joe Rando thinks?
Yeah, quite just ignorance.
As a business owner,
Yeah.
this we're not going to get real deep into this, but here in the US, there's lots of talk about inflation and recession and things like that. Do you, as a business owner, feel that the industry you're in is pretty stable economically?
For the sort of clients that I'm trying to attract because they are mainly trans people. Obviously, the finances affects them as well, but they seem to want it more because obviously of how they feel. Whereas a lot of cis women think that's a luxury, whereas for us it's a necessity.
Right.
So it has affected me. It can't not really. I mean, the cost of even just energy here. I know a lot of American people are complaining about the increase in gas prices. And I look at their gas prices and go, you're taking the piss here because ours have been higher than that for years before this hike. But our sort of electricity and gas bills are going up from like 1,000 to possibly up to £5,000 a year. So it's a huge hike in prices. So people are worried because of our government over the last 12 years. More people are basically having to use things like food banks. Even working people are having to go out and use food banks. So it's all got a knock-on effect. It does worry me that we're now looking like we're in recession. I'm certainly not going to give up because it's a service that's very much needed for the community. A service that I enjoy providing. I'm pretty well, pretty determined that I'm still going to be here at the end of it.
That's what we need to hear. We need to hear that determination. I know recession and everything is a global thing. So it's not just affecting us, no matter how loudly Jim Jordan runs his damn mouth. But it is a global thing, and it's good to hear that, even though it's a global kind of crisis, that there's still sustainability, because like you said, this is a necessity for us. You know, we don't, a lot of us do sit there and go, it would be nice if, but the difference between a trans woman saying it and a cis woman saying it is most of the time a trans woman goes and looks in the mirror and then starts bawling her eyeballs out.
Yeah, quite.
A cis woman goes, well, it would be nice. Okay.
With cis women though, especially on the face, it's usually not particularly bad.
No.
And if they just shave it off, they can't really see the hair follicles. But with a trans woman, it's fairly, obviously it grows back very quickly and it's fairly sort of dark. So it's a huge amount of difference for us, rather than a cis woman. And it is an absolute necessity. I don't know how much laser costs over there. But over here, I sort of do a full face for £65, which I would think is probably about $130.
Somewhere in there.
Which, I know people who charge like a lot more than that, but it's not about making money. I obviously want to make a living so I can be sort of eat and feed myself.
Right?
But I don't want to basically cane people money-wise. So I'd rather have be able to help 20 trans women get to their goal and earn the same money as if I was just like charging more and having 10, because you're doing more good for more people.
Absolutely, and I think that's a great thing. We got to support our community in any way possible.
Definitely.
Genevieve, thank you for doing the show.
My pleasure.
I'm gonna say this was wonderful. Your story is I'm gonna say it. It's a little it's inspirational there as a business owner. And being who you are and giving back to the community. So thank you so much for doing that.
My pleasure.
What you want to run that website for everybody again?
Yeah, it's www.transformlaser.uk.
And do you have any social media you want to promote?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook and it's under Transform Laser Hair Removal, Hair and Tattoo Removal Specialists. There are a couple of pages with the same name, because Facebook have basically prattled me about and stopped me advertising on one site and make another page. I'm on Twitter as Transform Laser, on Instagram as Transform Laser. So lots of ways of getting in touch. Website, you can book directly through the website, or you could just give me a ring. And the numbers are on Facebook and on the website and so on. And I'd be happy to talk to anybody about the hair removal, if they've got questions, and get them in and get them sorted.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for doing the show. Thank you for everybody for listening to this week's episode. If you would like to follow the show, you can do so. Facebook and Twitter at Transpose Pod. And remember, like we always say in every episode, if you interact with the Transpose Pod Twitter account, you are interacting with the wonderful AJ. Love you, dear. You can also email the show at TransposePod. I'm sorry, I've totally screwed that one up. TransposePod@gmail.com. Even it's early. Don't judge me. I know
No.
I judge me, but whatever. You can find me on Twitter at Robin Allura, and of course, as always, the very, very, very important, find us on Patreon, patreon.com/transposepod. Again, Genevieve, thank you. It was an absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you to everybody listening, and we will see you all next week.